Well, we probably could go home right now. We probably had revival because there's been so many people come to me and say they're praying for me. Brother, I'm praying for you. I think, man, this we probably already had revival right there. There's been more praying going on. Yesterday, Aggie and I was out visiting and down below Black River Retreat. And I wanted to go visit this couple. This man was in the hospital and his wife was supposedly there, John England, who pastors Cool Springs, had told me about this lady being there, and she was scared. She'd been hearing things up in the woods, and he went down there, and he said best he feared is just a bunch of deer blowing at her dogs. You know, the deer was whistling. So Aggie and I went down there yesterday. I wanted to go visit her. I told him, I said, I've never talked to her about Jesus. So we went up on the porch and knocked on the door, and nobody came. So Aggie said, well, why don't you leave her a note? And I said, well, I don't have a pen on me. Can you imagine that? She went back to the pickup. When she got back to the pickup, there was a little house sitting over from this mobile home. And we kept hearing that pecking like that. And there was a woman at the window with a wooden spoon pecking on the window. So I seen her, and I, oh, okay. And I walked over to that house and expecting her to go to the door and meet me. But as I got to the house, she said, you're going to get it now, Buster. Oh, my goodness, what have you done? Man, I'm beginning to feel. You're going to get it now. Oh, look at this. You get back over there. She started talking like that. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Finally, the door opened and this little dog ran out. And I thought, hey, I know what I feel like that at home. You're going to get it now, Buster. So you can have a lot of fun on visitation. Don't let nothing get. And we're actually having a really good visit. Man, there's so many people got needs. So many people are hurting. Oh, the devil will tell you nobody wants to listen. He'll try to scare you off. You know, the devil's, he's a master at that. And I don't know, you know, I'm so humbled by trying to get up here and preach to you. If you knew the truth, I mean it sincerely, I'm the one needs preached at. Whew, because it's just overwhelming. But this song that we've sung it as a family for a while, for years, and I thought of this song this morning. I said, Sarah, play a little bit of this song. And I think this song speaks, if you're here tonight and you're saved, this song, if you listen to the words of this, and you'll know it when I start singing it, but it's really true to think about it. Jesus came to die on dark Calvary to save lost sinners like you and me. And when I stop to think what he's done for me, how can I not serve my Lord? But I don't tell it enough, and I don't pray enough, and I don't love my neighbor as I should enough. And when I try to make it by myself, I say, Lord, I need you again today. And there is always something that I can do to witness for my Lord and that heavenly view. He has promised to guide me all my journey through. How can I not give him my all? If you know that chorus, you can sing it. But I don't tell it enough, and I don't pray enough, and I don't love my neighbor as I should enough. And if I try to make it by myself, I say, Lord, I need you again today. My, that's a precious prayer, because that's an everyday prayer. If you get your Bibles, you will turn to me to the book of Luke, chapter 10. I'll try to be as I usually always am. Try to be conscious. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 10. Verse 38, we'll begin reading. Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Where do we go from here? You know, I thought that old song, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. We're one Sunday night closer. We're one Sunday night closer to stepping into eternity. You're one Sunday night closer to stepping into eternity. I think, what do we need? What is one thing we need? Well, we need to see what Jesus thinks we need. That's where the thing is. What does Jesus say we need? He says here, one thing is needful. You know, we're busy people, busy lives. Everything's fast-paced, isn't it? I mean, we can't wait hardly for anything. We've got to have gadgets in our hand. You got all the information in the world right at your hands. We just want everything right now. We're just fast-paced, busy, busy, busy. And we're cumbered about with many things. A lot of times we're cumbered about with many things that are not bad things. That's what we all have to work. We all have to do those things. You know, we're cumbered about, though. And we get so busy, we're just so busy that this busyness keeps us from the needful thing. The needful thing. You know, things that are, you have to ask ourselves a question. Is it worth it now? What's keeping us from this needful thing? Is it worth it? Is it worth it now? Whatever's keeping you from Jesus, is it worth it? Is it going to be worth it going forward? I often ask people that question, and I've said it here many times before. What are you doing 100 years from today? 100 years today. Everybody in this room, if God tarries, everyone in this room will be in eternity. Every one of us will be. 100 years is nothing. You know, I was sitting here thinking, Kayla walked up there. Kayla, she had a coat on a while ago. Was that Clearwater's? No. But Clearwater, you know, used to have our school jackets. And I can remember being down on, used to when they had the fall concert, we'd have, instead of having the festival, they'd go down Main Street on Friday night, and the band would play in the dark, and we'd go down and sit by the Dairy Queen and watch the bands go through, and you'd see those kids would go by, and they'd have that 1968 on there. I thought, wow, 1968, you know. And then you'd see, and when I was in school, mine was 1978, and that seems so futuristic. 1978, I mean, that's way off there. And when the year 2000 round came, boy, that was a big scare. Everything was going to fall apart. And then now it's already 2016. Now we don't think nothing about it. 2000, I thought, that seems so odd. So time is fleeting so fast. It's moving on so fast. And we have to ask ourselves, what is it worth it? I think we ought to look at that verse there. It says, Martha, Martha. And I would like for you to put your name in there. Instead of it being Martha, put your name in there. As I put mine in. Jeff, Jeff. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. I think that we could personalize that because that's where the Lord is. He's a personal Lord. He wants us to personalize it. One thing is needful. Well, where was Mary at? Where was she at? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she had chosen the good part. She had chosen the good part. You know, at the place at Jesus' feet, there's a lot of things to be learned at Jesus' feet and having that personal relationship. And I think there's a lot of things that we can glean from this if we just kind of stop and think about it. I thought about the place at Jesus' feet as a place of surrender. It's a humbling place. It's a place of being quiet. It's a place of just listening and hearing Him speak to your heart. And, you know, having Him speak, being listening, hearing is an important part. And I have, Aggie tells me this all the time, you know, she says, you got your Grandpa Tucker in you because he just talked 90 miles an hour and, you know, didn't listen so much. And I think sometimes I didn't listen as much as I need to, but listening to what Jesus has to say, you know, a place of surrender, trading a place to trade death for life at the feet of Jesus. Now, this is a wonderful place to be. A place to trade death for life at the feet of Jesus. A place to for eternal life and have it abundantly at Jesus' feet. A place of compassion. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus, He was moved with compassion when He looked at people. A place where He had compassion for people. And if we have at Jesus' feet, we're going to have the same feelings for people. When you see people that are hurting and people that are in need. Every time we go somewhere and we go run around a little bit, and every time we go into a restaurant or I go to the any shopping area, and I look at these people and I see you view people in youth public, and you just think, I wonder how many of these people here are really saved. I wonder if we went to Santa Clara, California tonight to that stadium that's just filled to capacity. I wonder how many people in that stadium really know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I wonder if they've ever really experienced that one thing that's needful. And you know, it's sad part is that many people never experience at the feet of Jesus is a place of love. To know that God in heaven sent His Son to die for us is truly where the soul felt its worth. The soul felt its worth when the Creator of heaven came and took on human flesh to die for you and me. A place where the soul felt its worth. And tell you tonight, let me tell you, I'm going to look across this audience tonight, and I see everybody here, and I can tell you, if you know Jesus Christ, I'm speaking to a bunch of billionaires. You're more rich than words can describe. It's more a place at the Jesus feet is a place of true value. It's a place of true value. And so many times, you know, a lot of people, the devil will tell you you're of no value. Suicide is great because he'll tell young people that they're of no value. The devil will get you into something. He'll say, you ought to do that. You ought to do that. Nobody will see you. You ought to do that. And then as soon as you do something, then he'll stand back and accuse you of it. Oh, you'll never get out of that now. You'll never be able to be used by God anymore because look what you've done. He is an accuser. He likes to get you into messes, and then he'll stand back and he'll accuse you. You know, but the soul has a value. At the place of Jesus where Mary was, there's a place of healing for hurting people. You know, it hurts a lot of ways. There's people that are hurting, obviously, physically. But emotionally, people are hurting. People are hurting. Everybody in this room knows somebody that's hurting emotionally. In their family, there's hurt. Sometimes hurt comes in so many different directions. Words of hate, words of selfishness, relationships are, and place this Jesus, if we get in the right place, one thing that is needful, there will be some healing going on. We need some healing in this place. We need some healing in our homes. We need some healings in our community. And we definitely need healing in our country. You know, everybody's concerned. This being the great year of politics. And everybody, the most important thing, that most people are concerned about is money. It's the most thing. What are they going to do? How are you going to create jobs? As if there's a lot of people out here that really want jobs. You know, yeah. As if they really want jobs. There's some healing. There needs to be some healing of laziness. You know, of self-worth. There's healing. There's hurt everywhere. But at the place of Jesus' feet, to look in the Master's face, there's a place of healing. I like this. At Jesus' feet, there's a place. It's a place of security. Place of security. Man, there's nothing more wonderful. We sit here pretty fat and sassy and free tonight, don't we? Because we feel pretty secure, don't we? When it's not so, I tell you one thing. I haven't been very far around the world, but I've been to a few places out of the United States, and I didn't feel as secure as I did when I felt like I was in Piedmont, Missouri. Because up there on Gads Hill, you come to my old place, and I'm loaded for bear. I can tell you that right there. I got enough ammunition. I could stock us all up. I tell you, I believe in the Second Amendment, so I'm stocked up. But you know, I feel secure. I'm pretty proud up here at Gads Hill. But you go into Old Mexico, you go down there with me and Antonio was one day, and I didn't feel very secure there. In fact, that guy was saying a bunch of words, and I could tell they were curse words, even in Spanish. So I could tell there wasn't nothing godly, but my spirit was saying, hey, and I didn't feel very secure. And I've been some places, when we look, as we down in Peru, I didn't feel very secure. But boy, it's wonderful to feel secure with the Savior. Oh, man. And you know, you think about it. Is there somebody that you know out there? Why is it? Don't you want to get on this bandwagon of sharing what we have in Jesus? We all need to get on the bandwagon of sharing a place of security. And you know what I think, too? It's a place of power. Jesus, in Matthew, he says, all power is given unto him. Do you know why people, what does money do? Gives people power. Gives them power. Gives you a little power. You know, I always like to go somebody, especially if I was a kid, I always want to go with Dad to Dairy Queen because he had a little power, you know. Well, it ain't much use. I don't want to go shopping if I ain't got no power. What fun is that? Man, you know, some of you ladies, oh, I want to go shopping. Well, you got no money. I don't care. I just want to go shopping. Well, what's the use to go shopping if you got no money? Man, I don't ever want to go if I ain't got no power. But Jesus has all power of every nature. He has power. He has one. He's given us each one that our hearts are beating in our chest right now. He has the power to give it or take it away. That's a humbling. Wow. Man, this is some master, you know. He's a place of strength. A place of strength. A strength for the journey of life. Boy, I tell you what, sometimes we just come to some old hills in the journey of life that's just sometimes they're pretty hard, aren't they? They are pretty hard. But I tell you what, he give you strength for the journey. Man, I tell you what. Brother Tully preaching Wednesday night. Man, Brother Tully, right in the middle of service, I wanted to get up. I probably should have, but I didn't. I wanted to get up and hug my mom and dad's neck. To think about it, they shared the gospel with me. My next home won't be Gads Hill. It'll be on heaven's shore. Amen. Yeah. That's what sitting at the feet of Jesus will do for you. How many of you have ever sat at the feet of Jesus? You know what I'm talking about? You can say, yeah, I know. I've been there. That night, 1967, in that old farmhouse, when I really sat at his feet, when I surrendered to him. And here tonight, I'm telling you, once you've experienced that, there's nothing that satisfies. Strength for the journey. He promised never to leave us, nor forsake us. And my goodness, young people today, you better get to know this master. You need him desperately. I don't care what age you are, but you need him desperately as a young person. You need him. You need this master. You need this savior. You need him. You don't need strength for the journey. We got things coming down the pike we never experienced before in this country. Not like what us when I was in school. Yeah, there's things that are coming that just is making our heads spin. It's going pretty fast. We're going to need strength, but we don't have to fear. We got strength. A place at Jesus' feet is a place of wisdom. Wisdom to fear God. You know, when I was kind of slow growing up, but I caught on pretty quick. When I was told to do something and I didn't learn to do it just immediately, I had to learn a fear of Elmo Parker. I learned what belts were used for besides just holding up your britches. You say, oh man, that's child abuse. No, I tell you what child abuse is just like the kid I set in Red Lobster yesterday. And man, he was rah, terrorizing the whole place. And this great big guy, oh, what do I mean? I go, little, let me have him. Oh, please let me. I'll love that child. But that kid, you know what's going to happen to that kid? You all know where it's headed, don't you? Huh? Yeah. He'll have some kind of ADD or some kind of DDD or something or other, you know, and they'll dope him up because they can't control him. That's higher education a lot of times, unfortunately, amen, when all they really need is a seat at the master's. One needful thing to sit at Jesus' feet. A place of wisdom, a place that the Bible says wisdom is the fear of God. To abstain from evil, things that would hinder us and beset us. And a walk with God. Man, you know, hey, I had said this before, but anybody in here ought to get around older people as much as you can and learn from them. Learn from them. I mean, yeah, learn from them. You can learn from everybody. There's always, as I heard say, there's always somebody knows something that you don't know. Everybody. There's somebody knows something that you don't know. Just as smart as you may think you are. One guy said, you know, he's thought about calling NASA because he said he had a teenager in his house. He said, man, you don't know what I got over here at my house. I got a guy that knows everything. You know? Sometimes we get that way, don't we? We think we know everything. Boy, the place of wisdom. A place of instruction. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Boy, you ever get to the point, I don't know which way to go here, this. What do we do? Man, I tell you what, I know some good people right now. Some things that happen in good churches. And things that just come off the wall you'd never dream of. You just couldn't. Because the devil, he'll find a crack. Man, that devil, he's a roaring lion. He's seeking to devour. He's seeking to destroy. He'd like to destroy this light on this hill too. He better believe me, he would. He'd like to destroy it. But we need some instruction. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Which way to go? And you know what? It's a place that dispels fear. Man, fear is torment. And a lot of people are living in torment. Everybody here tonight, in some way or another, you have a certain amount of fear. Whether it's about your health, or whether it's about your wealth, or your family, or it could be a lot of different things. You have your own personal fears. But at the feet of Jesus, we can. The psalmist said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. No evil. And I have to I thought, man, I needed that. I needed that. I needed to remind myself, I don't have to fear if I'm with him, if I'm walking with him. I don't have to fear any evil. And I tell you, you know, everybody has some fears. You're fearful of your children. What kind of life, what kind of friends are they going to have? Where are they going to end up? What's going to happen? What about my grandkids? I have all these fears. And I have, you know, what's going to happen to our country? What happens after this election if things go, unfortunately, the other direction, or go worse? What's going to happen? You have all these fears, and they're genuine fears. They really are. I mean, there'll come a time when we may see that it might be not so. We'll have pressure just to get up and preach this book just like this. You know, it's already happening in places. Fear, but we don't have to be fear. And the psalmist said, I'll put my trust in God. Have I put my trust? I will not be afraid what man can do me. Free from the fears of tomorrow, it's like the songwriter said. Free from those fears. Just to be with Jesus is to know it will be all right. Just to be with Jesus, all right. You know, a lot of times, just to be with my parents, when as a child, I felt safe. I felt secure. I knew it was going to be all right. And to be in God's arms is to know it's going to be all right. At the feet of Jesus is a place of divine change. A change that changed life that nothing else can do. No program can be instituted. No SATOP program can do like what Jesus program can do. If no matter what problem there is, the best program is to get in the program that Jesus has, a divine change. We become a new creature. Old things are passed away, 2 Corinthians. Old things are passed away. And my hallelujah for a new beginning. Hey, you know, he wipes the slate clean and says, go on. Just go on. Don't let the devil beat you down with stuff. Just go on. Go on and go on and do something for God. Go on and tell people about Jesus and forget about what the world, what they say, because it matters what Jesus thinks. A place of divine change. I like this. A place of inspiration. You know, man, when things get dead, we need some inspiration. You know, I think it was simpler sometimes when I was a kid. And we'd go to church services. Boy, those old people, you know, they didn't have, I mean, they may have had black and white televisions, but that's about it. And it was KFES 12, and Paducah was so snowy, you thought it snowed down there year round, you know. You couldn't get it. They didn't have all the technology. Wasn't no computers. Wasn't air conditioning. You know, believe it or not, I'm old enough to remember the funeral fans and seat pews without pads in them. I'm old enough to remember that when you sit down in one, you got to be careful. Yeah. Only a few, you'll get that. But if you've experienced, you know what I'm talking about. But you know what? Those people, because they didn't have all that, they get singing them old songs and they get wound up. You know? Why don't we get wound up? You know why? We ain't seen that one needful thing. That one needful thing. When's the last time you thought about what's a needful thing for your own life? What do I need? I need to lose some weight. That's obvious. That's why I told Dr. Andy the other day, I said, don't tell me the obvious. Just tell me what's going on the inside. I can see the obvious. You know. A place of inspiration. A place with a heavenly future. A place with a heavenly future. Hope. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. While we're here, he's preparing a place for us. And I tell you what, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard. It's amazing. If we could just imagine what Jesus is doing for us even now, we'd be exciting. I know that one of my biggest problems, and I would suspect it's one of your biggest problems, you know what? We don't never think much about heaven. Because we're just concerned about getting all we can now, enjoying this life, having this, and that's nothing wrong with some of that. There's not. But my, I tell you one thing, I realize life is getting by pretty fast. I mean, I see some people once in a while, I think, man, do I look as old as them? I mean, I went to school with them. I mean, I can't believe it. And you begin to say the same thing, you know. And life's going on fast. I'm 56 years old. I get thinking, you know, it wasn't that long ago, 20 years ago, I was 36. So let's see, 20 years from now, I'll be saying, and if that next 20 goes as fast as that past 20, when I get 76, wow. Life's moving on pretty fast. We ought to be thinking about heaven. You know, we're one Sunday night closer. Man, I can remember all those New Year's Eve church services that we had. I can remember being one down at a little Brushy, down at Wapapello. And we was down there, Dad, at midnight. I don't know who was preaching. Johnny Phillips was there. I know he was a pastor. But we was down there. And I can remember just as a little boy, they all came forward. Everybody came forward, and as a little boy, I was at the altar, and I stared at that piece of fuzz on that carpet for hours, it seemed like, you know, I remember, you know, and I thought, man, that don't seem that long ago. Don't seem that long ago. A heavenly future. Man, how many people, you know, if I said, boy, we're all going on a big, nice trip somewhere, we'd all, I'm going on, you know, I'd be all excited about that. And we talk about heaven. Yeah, okay. See, if we're not careful. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions. You think what the best carpenters around here can build, and there are some nice homes. But in Jesus' house, a hand not made with clay hands. Oh, my goodness. I'm fascinated with the simple things. I have a window in by our living room. I feed the birds, the sunflower seeds, and I love watching those birds coming. Just before I came to church tonight, there was a little redhead woodpecker. He got up there in that soot. And I looked at the details on his head. Oh, that's incredible. That's incredible. That's the kind of God. That's the kind of God we ought to be excited about. You know? Man, he loves us tonight. He wants us to have this fellowship. He says, I'm preparing a place for you. I'm getting it all ready for you. I can't wait till you get here. And okay. No, are you serious? Are we serious? Hey, it's a wonderful place. You know. And the next thing is, and finally we're gonna close. The next is that the good part shall. It's not going to be taken away. This verse Jesus said, this part, Mary's chosen the good part, and it shall not be taken away. He didn't say it may not be taken away. It could be taken away. It shall not be taken away. That's a precious promise. He's not going to be taken away. Choosing. But choosing the wrong part. No compassion. No love. No value to the soul. No healing, only hurt. No security. No power, but chains of darkness. And by the way, darkness, the light dispels darkness. In other words, if we got light in here, you can't invite the darkness from outside to come in. It can't get in. It cannot, the darkness out there cannot get in because there's light in here. It can't get in. And where Jesus is, there's light. But the farther you get away from Jesus, and that's why those souls in hell are in outer darkness. That's a horrible thought. No darkness forever. No strength. No wisdom. No direction. And no freedom from fear. No divine change. No hope. Only eternal damnation. Are you telling me that we can't get motivated? Are you telling me that we can't get motivated a little bit? About Piedmont and Patterson and people we know, we can't get motivated just a little bit to tell somebody about Jesus when you have all that to look forward to and they have that to look forward to? This thought was convicting to me. I just want to share it with you. It helped me. One thing is needful. I tell you what, if we get at his feet, all the little problems we have, that ain't nothing. Are you serious? Are you serious? In the light of eternity? Have you ever thought? I've never flew but a few times, but I have. It's interesting to me when you're on that plane and you're about to land. And it's coming down, usually about 90 miles to 100 miles an hour is when the plane leaves the ground. So when he's coming in, he's close to 200 miles an hour. And it's just, man, that's fast. That seems so fast. But do you know how fast we're going through this life when you think of eternity? You could even count it in a second. Because you see, to comprehend eternity is forever. If we could see how fast time is really going, and how little time, and how precious time is, it would alarm me. God, help me. Help me see the one thing that's needful. I got a suspicion that we're all in the same boat. To be at Jesus' feet. And you know what? It's personal. It's not one service going to do it. We're not going to have a big singing and everybody be whooped up. And that's going to... No, it'll happen tomorrow. Maybe when you're driving or when you're going on your job or wherever you're at. That you have your time with God. And you talk and say, Lord, I just need you. I need you again today. I need you again today. There's somebody come across my path. And in me in my office, I get so many opportunities that people just hurting and just... And I'm thinking, man, I need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. People need the Lord. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. One thing's needful.